Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Soft, the First Dog, Part 1, an original story by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Matthew, Boo, Rachel, Doodler, and Sarah, Beans, and their family, Rose, Howard, and Iris, and their family, Calvin, Dean, and Emily, and their family, and Rebecca, Amanda, and Melissa, and their family. Thank you so much, Melissa, Amanda, Rebecca, Emily, Dean, Calvin, Iris, Howard, Rose, Beans, Doodler, and Boo. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and receive a thank you in a future episode, please head to patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to Amanda at storiespodcast.com and let us know who to thank. Our Patreon subscribers also gain access to a special commercial-free feed with all of our past episodes on it. You get access to it for pledging as little as $1 a month. The feed works with any podcast player, and you can email us if you need help setting it up.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Look at the size of that thing! You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Hey, grown-ups! Do you ever want to whisk your family away on a fun and exhilarating adventure? What if we helped you make it a possibility every single week? And from the comfort of your home, car, or wherever you are. It's the Cat in the Hat Cast, a weekly podcast presented by our partners at Purina. Your pet, our passion. Fill your week with sing-alongs, laughter, and a pinch of mayhem as you spend time with the oh-so-mischievous Cat in the Hat and his cautious pal, Fish. Tune in with the whole family, including your furriest friends, because when we spend time together, the fun never ends. You'll never guess what surprises the Cat in the Hat will pull out of his hat next. Follow the Cat in the Hat Cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Soft, the First Dog. Northeastern Russia, 15,000 BC. Chapter 1, The Hunt. The first spear sailed through the air and stuck into the frosty turf, quivering. The pair of reindeer looked up from the leafy weeds of their dinner. Their dewy eyes stared at the humming spear for a moment. Seeing nothing of concern, they bent back to their meal. The second spear was better thrown. With a thud, it took down one of the deer. The other bleated loud enough for Mazzy to hear it from her hiding spot among the trees. In a blind panic, it darted this way and that, not sure where to go. The hunters rose from the grass and charged with a series of ear-splitting war cries. A spear bounced off an antler, another fell short, but the third grazed the deer's legs and sent it staggering away from the hunters, blood drip-dropping from the cut. Sitting on the highest branch of a pine tree, Mazzy breathed a sigh of relief. A deer meant dinner, meant food. It had been days since they'd last eaten anything more than a handful of nuts. A deer meant meat. Two deer meant even more meat, but the hunters were giving up the chase. She had a moment to wonder why, and then she saw them. A dozen or more sleek gray shadows prowled through the distant grass. They were keeping their bellies low to the ground, so she never saw more than a flash of fur here, a paw there, but she knew it was them. The wolves. They were never far these days. At first, the adults in her tribe had worried that the wolves would steal their food, but so far that hadn't happened. The opposite, in fact. The wolves would chase deer and even the occasional shaggy mammoth towards the village. The hunters would do their work and leave some meat and bones behind for the wolves. It was an uneasy alliance, but so far it was working well. "Thanks for the help. Enjoy your dinner," Mazzy said as the wolves launched from the grass and took down the injured deer. The leader of the pack, a giant black and gray wolf, looked up from the kill with blood-flecked fur and stared at the human hunting party. The chief of the tribe, Mazzy's father, Thraz Three-Fingered, returned the wolf's gaze and gave a nod of approval. It may have been her imagination, but Mazzie could have sworn the wolf nodded back. She shook her head. That was ridiculous. Wasn't it? By then, the hunters had lashed the deer to a pole and were carrying it back to the village. Mazzie quickly scampered down the tree and ran to join them. With the smell of blood in the air, it wasn't safe to linger too long. The wolves may be friendly, but they weren't the only hunters in the wild. Soon, the laughers would come, and Mazzie didn't want to chance being alone when they did. Things being what they were, taking chances could get you killed. Chapter 2: The Kill. The young wolf could smell the blood in the air. The humans had done them a favor and injured the deer, but now the pack would finish the job. His father was the first to leap, as was his right as the largest male. With a single powerful jump, he launched from the grass and landed lightly behind the deer. Before the startled animal could run, the giant wolf lunged forward and tore the hamstring from its leg, sending the deer sprawling to the ground, unable to stand. The rest of the pack followed, and dinner began. The young wolf pushed forward towards the kill. He was tall and broad for a wolf, though he still had that hint of puppy in his gangling legs and soft undercoat. Not a child, but not yet an adult, his role was to watch and learn and help only if the prey happened to break out of the circle and head his way. As they ate, they kept one eye on the horizon to the south. That was where the crunchers lived, and when there was a fresh kill, they always showed up sooner or later. The pack hated to admit it, but the crunchers were bigger, stronger, and they would take over the meal if they found it, so best to eat fast before it was time to run. The humans were already leaving, the young wolf noticed between bites. They had the deer suspended on some kind of stick and were taking it home. Over the past few months, the pack had learned to respect the humans. They weren't fast or strong, but they could do amazing things with their clever paws, and they understood how to share a kill, unlike the crunchers, who would sooner take your head off than share a bite of dinner. The sun was setting behind the forest when the pack finished their meal and moved on, most carrying a morsel or bone for the night. They had been sleeping lately in a small hollow in the woods near the human village. It made some of the elders nervous to be so close to the humans with their spears and their fire, but there wasn't any other choice. The cold and ice had killed so much prey that the humans were the pack's best bet for regular meals. Their only bet, really. In the distance, they heard the first jittery laughing howl of a cruncher, followed by a chorus of others. They had left the kill just in time, it seemed. The pack bunched tighter together, the bulky males and agile females at the edges, the young and old on the inside. Maybe they were being overly careful, but there was no sense in taking chances. Not with the crunchers. Things being what they were, taking chances could get you killed. Chapter 3: The Tribe. A cheer went up from the villagers as the hunters returned victorious. The cheer was long and loud and well-earned. Tonight, they would all eat. And not nuts and roots, but meat. Fresh meat. Mazzie cheered along with the rest and let out a whoop of laughter when her father picked her up and set her on his shoulders, his big hands holding her firmly in place. His left hand was normal, dirty and scarred, sure, but normal. It was the right hand that gave her father the name of Three-Fingered. It was missing the middle and ring, both lost to a fight with a laugher when Mazzie was still a baby. Her father liked to brag that the laugher got his fingers, but he had won the fight in the end.
"Did you see the hunt today, my little lookout?"
he asked, nodding and smiling to the villagers as they walked past.
"I did. I climbed a tree, like you said," Mazzie replied proudly. "I even saw the wolves take down the second deer. It was a little scary."
Thras laughed and headed towards the large fire in the center of the village. The other hunters were already there, butchering the kill and setting it to roast over the flames on a hardened wooden spit. Dozens of others milled around nearby, happy to have food and chatting while they waited for their share.
"Don't be scared, little one. The wolves are our...
friends?"
He laughed again and set Mazzie down on a rough-hewn log bench. He sat beside her with a happy sigh.
"I don't know about friends. How about allies.
What are allies? Thraz looked down and plucked at the twisted scar where his middle two fingers had been. It was his habit when he was thinking of what to say, so Mazzy sat quietly and waited for his answer.
Allies are people, or in this case, wolves, that you work with to accomplish a common goal. The wolves just want to eat, same as us, and they've been helpful in flushing out game to hunt. We help with the hunting and share as best we can. Are we friends? No. But maybe someday.
Mazzy thought about that for a minute while her father talked to the others. Wolves as friends. It made sense. They could share the food, share the hunts. If only wolves could speak. Hungry, you two? Mazzy looked up to see her mother holding out two sticks, each with a charred and dripping hunk of meat on the end. She took one and bit into it eagerly, letting it sit on her tongue and coat it with grease. Her father took the other and pulled her mother into his lap.
What would we do without you, May?
He said, taking a giant bite of his dinner. Starve, I guess, May replied with a smile. It was meant as a joke, but Mazzy saw the way her father's face dropped when he heard it. Wrong word. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. This is the first fresh meat in what, 10 days? Even with the wolves nearby to flush out the reindeer and the mammoths, there just isn't enough left. I think we'll need to be moving on soon.
Move where? Mazzy asked. Clustered around the fire, the 30-odd villagers all fell silent to hear the answer. Thraz sighed, and Mazzy knew they wouldn't like what he had to say.
Where else is there to go? We have to take the sunrise path to the east. We should have gone months ago when the other half of the village did, but I thought we could make a life here still. I was wrong.
Everyone was silent. There was no sound but the crackle of the fire and the sizzling of the roasting meat.
We've been putting it off, but I think we all know there's not much choice. Sure, we got a reindeer today, but what if it's not 10 days next time? What if it's 20? What if it's even more? May, how much food do we have left in the ice hut?
Mazzy looked at her mother expectantly. May thought for a bit and then replied in a voice so soft it was barely more than a whisper. 15 days? Maybe a moon's turn if we ration? No more, though, and probably less. The village murmured and buzzed with worry until Thraz three-fingered raised his diminished hand.
I don't see any sense in waiting. Tomorrow we'll bundle the food and pack anything else you think you'll need. We'll take the sunrise path. With any luck, we'll find more food along the way, and if we're really lucky, we'll find our friends on the other side.
Mazzy and the rest of the tribe watched as he finished his dinner in two quick bites and then threw the steak back into the fire. Mazzy watched her mother's hand slide into her father's and clasp it tight. She leaned into the pair of them like she had when she was younger, enjoying the quiet love of her family.
I have my family to think about. I have all of you to think about, and I believe it's time to go. If anyone has any other ideas, now's the time to speak.
For a moment, there was only the sound of the roasting fire, and then a hunter named Tuggle called out,
Where with you, Thraz?
To a chorus of agreements.
Good. Then we leave tomorrow. Eat your fill tonight and sleep well. The sunrise road is long and hard, and we'll need our strength. All of us.
He stood and ruffled Mazzy's hair with his good hand.
Child, you come with me for a moment.
He started walking towards the nearby cave where the tribe would shelter during storms. Mazzy had to run to keep up with his long strides.
What are we doing?
Quiet, and you'll see.
Inside, the cave was warm and cheery. It was lit by a pair of smoking torches, and the floor was a soft gray sand. The walls were covered in simple drawings, most done in a sooty red, of deer and mammoths and wolves. Mazzy watched her father find a blank space and sit beside it, motioning for her to join him.
Before we take the sunrise path, there are two things I want to give you, he said,
pulling a bundle wrapped in old mammoth hide from behind his back. Mazzy cheered with delight and unfolded the present. Inside was a small deer hide pouch and a flat knife. The pouch was tied at the top with rawhide and dusted with something bright red. The knife was made from flint rock, carefully chipped to a razor's edge and wrapped to make a shaggy fur handle out of the bottom half.
A knife? Mazzy asked, picking the blade up carefully between her fingertips.
A knife, her father agreed, taking it gently from her grip and then putting the handle into her palm, curling her fingers over it. You hold it like this.
Mazzy stared at the knife in her palm, excitement and fear fighting for space in her heart. Why? Her father shook his head and plucked at the scar of his missing fingers. Mazzy gave him a moment to think and turned to watch the way the torchlight seemed to glow on the edges of the blade.
A knife because you're old enough, and because you deserve it, and because it's a useful thing, but mostly because we are taking a dangerous trip. A dangerous trip with an uncertain end, and I need you to be strong.
He curled his three-fingered hand over hers, squeezing firmly around the knife handle, solid and still as stone.
Strong.
Strong, Mazzy repeated, nodding. I'll be strong, I promise. Her father smiled and kissed her forehead.
I believe you. Now why don't you open the pouch for me?
Mazzy smiled back and undid the strings of the pouch. Inside, it was packed with a bright red dust. What's this for?
For this, her father said, taking the pouch and pouring a small pile of the dust into his left hand. When we leave, we will want others to know who was here.
He placed his three-fingered hand spread wide against the wall.
This will tell them our story.
He brought the dust up to his mouth and blew lightly. It misted off his hand in a beautiful swirl that reminded Mazzy of the glowing sparks from a newly woken fire. The dust stuck to the stone wall, and when her father pulled his hand away, there was a perfect outline in the cloud of red.
Tell them your story, Mazzy,
he said, pouring her a handful of the dust.
But I don't even know what my story is.
He took her hand in his and placed it against the wall next to the red outline of his own, splaying her fingers wide.
You write your story every day. Every thought you think, every word you speak, everything you do is the story of your life, and you must tell it the best you can. Now, leave your story for those who'll come later.
Mazzy brought her handful of dust to her lips. My story, she thought. My story will be one worth telling. She blew out lightly, watching the dust swirl and skitter over the cave wall, looking for all the world like the glowing sparks of a newly woken fire. Chapter 4: The Pack. The young wolf paced back and forth, restless and worried. The humans were moving. Moving! On the other side of the clearing, some of the wolves were whining at his father, the pack leader. But it didn't matter. It was obvious to all the wolves that they had to follow the humans. It was either that or starve, which wasn't really a choice at all. Growing bored, the young wolf nuzzled at his mother, but she was sleeping deeply, tired and full-bellied from the kill. He chewed on a bit of bone for a few minutes until the noise annoyed an elder enough to open one eye and growl at him. Tail between his legs, the young wolf dropped the bone and padded off into the woods in search of something to do. The woods were alive with sounds and smells. Of course, the humans were the loudest of all, as always, but the creaking, chirping, buzzing of the insects was a close second. Sniffing along at some disturbed grass, the young wolf got the scent of a rabbit. Saliva flooded his mouth. Rabbit was his favorite. Nose down, he tracked it nearly back to the edge of the trees before it disappeared underground beneath an old oak. He tried to look inside, but his head was too big to fit. He pawed at the earth, but it was too frozen for him to dig. He growled threateningly at the tree, but that didn't work either. Oh well, there would be other rabbits. Slow ones, hopefully. He was getting ready to return to his pack when his sensitive ears twitched in the wind. Freezing still as silence, he tilted his head to better hear. From the distant dark, there came the terrible, stuttering howl of a cruncher. The young wolf held his breath, became another shadow in a forest full of shadows. Another howl, this time closer. Much, much closer. Where were they? It was impossible to see hiding in the trees. The young wolf knew he should stay still, but he couldn't help it. He had to move. Slowly and quietly as a glacier, the young wolf picked his way through the woods until he came to the edge of the plains. He laid his belly on the frosty ground, ears up and alert, nose sniffing at the wind.
A light breeze rolled over the plains and brought the stale stink of crunchers to his nose. They were close, and getting closer still. He had to go warn the pack. As the young wolf turned to go, he spotted a shadow slinking across the plains in the distance. It was followed by another, and another, and a dozen more. He let out a soft little whine of fear without realizing. It wasn't one cruncher, or even a few. It was all of them, heading right for the humans. The young wolf turned and ran through the woods, letting out an echoing howl of warning that burst out through the branches above and was soon lost among the stars. Chapter 5. The Fire. Mazzy was dreaming. The soft snores of her mother and the grumbles of her father had lulled her to sleep hours ago, and now she was lost in a world of green. Green grass stretched in all directions, just like in the stories told around the campfire at night. She ran, barefoot and free, to a distant tree. It towered over the surrounding pines and grew as she approached, broad branches sprouting strong and erupting with leaves and sweet fruits in all shapes and sizes. But only one color, green. Mazzy never wanted to leave. She reached the base of the tree. Its trunk was as wide as her whole village, and even the smallest of its roots was thicker than her waist. But the bark was rough and full of good spots to place a hand or foot. "Climb me," it seemed to say. "Climb me and eat your fill." "I will," Mazzy said, her stomach rumbling at the thought. "I'm coming." She pulled herself up the bark, climbing higher into the branches. She shouldered through the leaves and climbed higher still. A fat green fruit swung in front of her face. Smiling, she plucked it, only to find the yellow-toothed sneer of a laugher hiding behind. She screamed and the laugher launched itself at her. She let go and began to fall, the laugher howling all the while as she plummeted down and down and down and
up. "Mazzy, May, we have to get up and get to the cave."
It was her father, lifting her from her sleep and pushing her into her mother's arms. "What's going on?" Mother started to ask, but she was cut off by a cruel-sounding, stuttering howl. "Laughers," Mazzy said, her blood turning to ice and freezing her in place.
"Let's go,"
Father cried, hefting a heavy spear in his three-fingered hand and a short stone axe in the other. With a roar, he kicked open the door of their hut and burst through. Outside, it was fire and madness. The laughers had ripped apart some huts, and the flames from the fires within had set half the village burning. Mazzy squinted through the smoke and clung tightly to her mother's hand. The cave. Which way was the cave? Every direction was shouting and howling and licking tongues of fire and gray walls of smoke so thick Mazzy had to cough when she tried to draw a breath. "That way! Go!" Mother shouted in her ear, pulling her to the side. Mazzy stumbled along blindly, clutching her mother's guiding hand. Her chest felt tighter every second, but it was too hot and smoky to breathe. Her brain screamed for fresh air. Her feet felt like they were sunk in clay. Even lifting one to take a step felt impossible. "I'll just sit," she thought. "Just take a little break." She started to sink to the ground, but felt her mother's strong arm slide beneath her at the last moment, lifting her with a grunt and stumbling forward. A few seconds later, and a breath of fresh air whispered over Mazzy's cheek. "Cool as winter water," she thought, drawing a deep breath, "and sweet as summer juice." Her mother stumbled and they both went sprawling to the ground. Mazzy blinked up and saw they were on the far side of the village. Unfortunately, it was also the wrong side, the burning village standing between them and the cave. Mother coughed weakly, shaking her head in groggy waves. Mazzy grabbed her arm and started to pull her up. "Come on, Mom, we gotta go." May fought to her knees, and then Mazzy smelled it, the rank scent of spoiled meat and dirty hair and sour milk. Laughers. She turned to see a pair of them slinking out of the smoke. They walked on four legs but were twice as big as the wolves. One had a coat of dull yellow spotted with mud brown. The other was an ashy gray with spots of black. They both had thick, powerful chests and short muzzles bristling with yellow teeth. As they approached, they let out the stuttering, howling laugh that gave them their name. Mazzy was too shocked to be afraid. She stood staring, her mouth agape. The laughers came on slowly, taking each step with care. Mother rose to her feet and placed herself between Mazzy and the beasts, still shaking and coughing for breath. The laughers howled and charged them, fangs gleaming wetly in the moonlight. And then Father was there, only he wasn't just her father. He was Thraz Three-Fingered, warrior chief. Howling, he threw his heavy spear. It flashed through the smoky air and crashed into one of the laughers with a thud. Thraz leapt over its thrashing body and landed on the back of the second laugher, grabbing a handful of its stinking fur with his three-fingered hand. The beast howled and rolled, and then Father's hunters were there with their spears, rising and falling. May ran forward as they finished their work, and she pulled Father out from under the beast. He had a fresh cut across his chest. It looked ugly, but it was barely a scratch once Mother rubbed the dirt away with her shirt. He looked up at Mazzy and flashed her a smile, but only for a second. Then her mother screamed and her father's face changed to a mask of pure fear. And then the laugher had her. It came from behind, from the forest. Its stinking jaws clamped over the hood of Mazzy's coat and shook her violently. Everything flashed red and white, and then they were moving, moving backwards through the forest, moving away from the village. "It's dragging me," Mazzy realized, feeling the hot breath of the creature on her neck, the smell so strong it was almost a taste. In the distance, she could see her father fighting more laughers. Her mother had an axe and was fighting by his side. They were trying to get to her, but there were too many laughers, too much fighting, too much smoke. The beast pulled her deeper into the woods. Mazzy knew she had to get free. She tried to punch at the laugher, but it only grunted and shook her again. The forest floor dragged painfully along her back as they went. They hit a bump and something in her pocket jabbed her in the side. The knife! The one her father had given her. It was still in her pocket. She drew it out and began to cut away the ties that held her coat together. In the distance, she could see a flickering orange light. It was strange, but she didn't have time to consider it. With a grunt of effort, she cut the last tie and slid free of her coat. Before the laugher realized it, she was on her feet and bounding through the trees back towards the village, the orange light getting brighter every step. As the laugher howled behind her and came charging, Mazzy noticed for the first time the haze of smoke in the air. The woods were on fire. Mazzy tried to press on, but the fire was roaring ahead, a wall of flame surging through the forest like a wave moves over the sea. She turned, and there was the laugher, snarling mad, ready to attack. Flames at her back, laugher in front, Mazzy felt a wild rush of anger flow through her. She screamed at the laugher, screamed again and again and again, though she couldn't have said why. Eyes squinted against the smoke, she raised her little knife. "Come on!" she shouted, and then her world was split by a great, thundering howl. Chapter 6. The Burn. The young wolf ran through the woods, desperate to find his family, to find his pack, to find anyone other than the howling crunchers crashing through the woods behind him. His nose smelled smoke and blood, fear and fire, hatred and destruction. All the bad smells of the world seemed to surround him, but he had hope, because he was almost home. A final mighty bound sent him crashing through the brush, skidding into the clearing the wolves had been calling home. It was empty, and it was burning. Flames climbed every branch and turned all the evergreen needles to ash. The young wolf gave a mournful howl as a tree crashed into the clearing in a great roar of embers and flame. He tried to smell out which direction his family had gone, but there was only smoke and fire here, so thick in the air that even his excellent nose could find nothing else. He whined and spun in quick circles, not sure where to go or what to do. There was a scream. He perked up his ears and held still. There it was again. A human screamed somewhere off to his right. A young human. A frightened human. It was his best chance. The young wolf turned and ran towards the screams, plunging headlong through the brush, swerving around burning undergrowth, and leaping fallen trees that glowed red and orange as the sun. He clawed his way up a gravel bank, slippery with melting ice, and saw the screaming girl just ahead. She had out a little claw and was facing a cruncher that was 3 times the size of her. The young wolf didn't even think about what he did next. He didn't have to. The humans were helping the pack. In some ways, they were part of the pack. and no one threatened the pack. He tilted back his head and let loose a great, thundering howl, drawing the eyes of both the girl and the cruncher. His lips peeled back from his teeth, showing off his gleaming white fangs, and he stalked forward in an unconscious imitation of the hunting posture he'd seen so many times from his father and the pack. The cruncher took a step back, swinging its head to keep track of both the wolf and the girl, seemingly unsure of which was the bigger threat. As the flames raged around them and the forest grew thick with smoke, the three of them stood still, each waiting for the other to make a move. The young wolf readied himself to leap, but the girl moved first. She lashed out with her little claw, dragging it over the beast's face hard enough to make it yelp. With a snarl, it turned all its attention to the girl, forgetting the young wolf for an instant. "Big mistake," thought the young wolf with a savage pride. He launched himself forward and sank his teeth into the cruncher's leg, parting the sour fur and finding the soft muscle beneath. With a cry of rage, the cruncher spun and kicked, sending the young wolf sliding into the girl's legs, tumbling both of them to the ground. They rolled apart and stood at the same time, ready to fight, but the cruncher was running away, leaving only a thin trail of blood that disappeared into the forest. The fire was all around them now, smoke so thick that the young wolf could barely see. He turned to run, but behind him he heard the girl begin to cough and sputter. As he watched, she sank to her hands and knees, struggling to breathe. The young wolf was finding the air hard to breathe as well, but he couldn't leave the girl. Not without knowing where the rest of his pack was. Not after she had faced down a cruncher. He walked over to the girl and leaned his body against hers, the same way he would for an injured packmate. She leaned back against him and slowly rose to her feet. Together they half walked, half stumbled away from the flames. For a while, they traveled in silence, putting distance between themselves and the fire and the crunchers and the breath-stealing smoke. Finally, silly with weariness, the pair slipped down a frosty bank and found themselves on the edge of an icy river. The water was barely a trickle, but the air was clear, and the young wolf could smell no sign of the crunchers. They both drank greedily and then laid back against the bank, too tired and smoke-sick to move another inch.
"Thank you," said the girl, gently scratching behind his ear. "Oh," she said as her fingers brushed his fluffy undercoat. "Soft." She drifted off to sleep. The young wolf watched her for a time, making sure the gentle rise-fall of her chest was normal. Then, his own exhaustion overwhelming him, he curled up next to the girl, pressed tight against her to share warmth like he would with his packmates. "Soft," he thought as sleep overtook him. "She called me soft." To be continued. Today's story, part one of Soft, the First Dog, was an original story by Daniel Hines, performed by me, Amanda Weldon. Next episode, we'll join Mazzy and her new friend Soft as they start their quest to find their families along the Sunrise Path. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and receive a thank you in a future episode, please head to patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to Amanda at storiespodcast.com and let us know who to thank. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.